much about these things. He knows so much about these things. I would go out tonight, but I haven't got a stitch to wear. This man said it's gruesome that someone so handsome should care.
You just heard This Charming Man from the Smiths and We're Eagles Dare from the Misfits. This is a somber Requiem Metal podcast. We're going to do a little tribute to the late, great Blake Harrison, who we've had on a couple episodes. This is Mark.
Yeah, and this is Jason. And yeah, somber indeed. We had kind of talked, you know, kind of threw a couple ideas out of how we wanted to, you know, approach this. It's the first time that, not the first time we've lost somebody in the years of doing in Requiem or whatever, but obviously somebody that played a pretty big role in co-hosting a couple episodes and actually kind of like suggesting and pitching shows to us and
for several years. Also,
Yeah. And somebody also that means a lot to the metal community, and that we have done a Pig Destroyer episode back in our early years and had them on a lot of our best ofs and stuff. And so we just thought, you know, at first, should we do like a little something at the beginning of the Samael episode? But then we thought, well, that's going to age weird. Like if somebody, you know, one of the things we've prided ourselves with Requiem episodes is trying to make them kind of eternal so that you can kind of listen to those episodes at any time and kind of glean something out of them. And yeah, we thought that that might be awkward to somebody who's just like, you know, some, like, I don't know, some European dude who discovers a Samael episode 4 years from now being like, why are they playing Hate Beak? What is happening right now? You know, like, yeah. Why did I just hear a Smith song? You know, like, I don't know. They probably would figure it out, but we just thought, like, let's just do this, you know, singular. That was Mark's idea. And I thought it was a really, really smart move on that part.
It just felt kind of like, I didn't feel right about Hornet. Like, I think it deserved its own little tribute. And yep. I think it would have really made the whole Samael episode feel really joyless.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, we're not happy to be, you know, putting this episode together. Like I said, it's kind of, you know, new and unprecedented for us, but we kind of thought about, like, we should, you know, just should we say something? And we just thought, hey, let's do something that Blake would enjoy and celebrate Blake a little bit, not with anything crazy or long. This is not going to be a traditional Requiem episode, just a little kind of mini statement or whatever. And, you know, we wanted to open with, you know, a couple songs that I think meant a lot to him. His girlfriend of 10-ish years, Lindsay, put together kind of a Spotify playlist for a tribute thing that, you know, celebration that kind of happened down in the Maryland, Washington, D.C., you know, Virginia area where he had his roots. And those are the first two songs in the playlist. And I know in talking to him, he was kind of a, you know, in addition to being a Glenn Danzig fan, you know, he was a huge, you know, Smiths fan, and we shared a lot of love of some of the darker kind of music of the 80s, like Joy Division and the Smiths and Sisters of Mercy. And, you know, we talked a lot about that in the Samhain episode, especially, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, you know, This Charming Man is kind of Blake in a nutshell, right? You know, and that was actually the first song in the Spotify playlist. And I was like, you know, that kind of speaks of who he is. You know, they used to call him Elroy, you know, from the Jetsons was like one of his nicknames. And I he had a whole bunch of other, just, you know, always smiling and kind of a little prankster. And if you ever got to see him on stage, Pig Destroyer, just really animated in terms of, you know, who he was and stuff. And, you know, a great uncle and a family person and all these other kind of different hats besides just being a metal musician. And then, you know, Where Eagles Dare, the kind of a nice anthemic, celebratory, brazen song, kind of just like Blake, you know, he ain't no mm-hmm. goddamn son of a bitch, you know, like he's kind of carrying him out, you know, in style. And so I thought that'd be kind of nice just to open with a couple of his favorites, his personal favorites and whatnot. So, but yeah, he was 48 years old, you know, died of some, you know, heart complications related to, I think those of you that have heard the Misfits episode and the Samhain episode, you know, he talked about going through, you know, cancer treatment and some of the wear and tear that obviously takes on your body, you know, so yeah. Definitely kind of caught us off guard because I knew he was in remission and, you know, seemed to be, you know, making strides away from being, you know, being cancer free there for a couple of years. So very sad. You know,
cancer's a son of a bitch as far as the like the treatment. Our neighbor across the street, who's, you know, got quite a bit of history with his property, he got like a 6 month to live diagnosis, and he made it for 13 months, but man, he was just like, there wasn't a whole lot left of him at the end. He fought hard, but man, that you can only go so far before it grabs you.
Yep. Indeed. So, like I said, we wanted to, you know, offer up a brief kind of, albeit incomplete tribute, you know, kind of as the tip of the hat, you know, and kind of talk about, you know, music that he's eternally part of, you know, some of the, obviously Pig Destroyer people know, but he was in, you know, a couple of other sort of side projects. I mean, he's been making music since I think 2002, 2003, you know, in terms of recorded stuff, mm-hmm. some stuff that never really got recorded. And so he's, you know, he's been in the music world for several decades and obviously a fan for even more decades than that, you know. We did kind of, it was tough. I kind of tried to scrub through some of the episodes that we did with them, the Misfits and the Samhain episodes. And again, if you're, you know, just discovering Requiem in the last few episodes with some of this international thrash thing and, you know, you're a fan of Blake's stuff and maybe you were like, oh shit, I didn't know, you know, he was, you know, co-hosted the Misfits episode or Samhain, definitely scroll back and listen to those. They're great episodes. They're a lot of fun. And, it was tough kind of trying to find just Blake talking. Cause of course it's the three of us. So there was, you know, often just conversations that were happening, but, sure. I did manage to find a clip where he kind of at near the beginning of the Misfits episode where he talks a little bit for 2 or 3 minutes just about his, you know, his entryway into music a little bit. So we'll throw that clip up too at the beginning of this kind of little set of music that we're going to play and celebrate stuff from him. But you know, we're not really here to do like song analysis or breakdowns. I'll mention just a couple thoughts about, you know, why, you know, a couple of these songs are good representations of Blake's personality or his contributions to what he was, you know, the bands he was kind of part of or whatever. But,
yeah.
You know, I guess, Mark, why don't you start? The Pig Destroyer did make a statement, you know, and then I have some just some different words that various people shared about Blake that I thought I'd share with the wider world, especially if you're not on social media or Facebook and want to hear some nice things said about Blake and some things from some Requiem fans who said a few things when I posted about it. And yeah, so why don't you kind of kickstart us off and then we'll kind of jump in and share some of these things.
Sure. I think this was on Twitter that they put it up. It was just a nice succinct way that, and you know, honestly, told from people that really, you know, love this guy to death. But Blake Hollingsworth Harrison has been our spirit animal for over 20 years. In the early aughts, Blake's band Daybreak and Pig Destroyer were both fledgling bands of malcontents fighting to establish our footprint in the scene. Eventually, Blake joined Pig Destroyer in early 2004, helping with merch on the Grindover UK tour, thus began a creative brotherhood and friendship that would span over two decades across many countries and over several albums. Blake joined Pig Destroyer as her full-time sound designer in the space leading up to Phantom Limb. From there, we all learned together how the band would work. We all shared the same values and basic beliefs and what we were doing while becoming a tight family. Everyone that knew Blake loved Blake. Light bent around him. You only had to meet him once. We in Pig Destroyer are forever grateful for the time we were able to share with him. Thank you for everything, Blake. Thanks for the million memories, laughs, and stories. You were etched into the bedrock of our lives. Godspeed, Blake, you rascal. Love you, man.
Yeah, well said. I thought that was a good, probably the most succinct kind of, you know, encapsulation of that. I only got to meet Blake a few times in person, but obviously bonded over the course of organizing the episodes and putting that stuff together and then having him on for, you know, grand total, you know, three hour sessions at least, you know, for each of those episodes. So, you know, six plus hours of having kind of conversations, both record it and, you know, it makes me regret, like, that would have been perfect to have maybe recorded some of the in-between banter, you know, before we hit record. I'm sure there was some probably some gems kind of in there, but one of the last times I saw him was at MDF. And I think it was just after we had done the Misfits episode and we were catching up, and it was one of those, you know, like you're hiding from the sun over in that one edge area where they have like the picnic tables and stuff. And he, I think he had partied hard the night before and was just like, oh man, I can't do this to myself anymore and stuff. So we were having kind of one of those, you know, kind of conversations, and, you know, he was pretty beat. So, you know, it's not like we had any deep life talks or whatever, but we were just kind of joking about some things and talking about the episode and stuff like that. So it was definitely, I like that idea of the light bending around Blake. That's a very much kind of a cool way of talking about him, you know?
Yeah, he was, I mean, at the first time 2012, I did the book burner illustration for Decibel.
Oh yeah.
Where he's like biting the book, and I don't, maybe it was around that, after that came out on social, I was trying to find out where that was. And if it was like an Instagram or something, I mean, it's impossible to like search anything. So, but I remember him talking about like, oh man, this was awesome. You should do a shirt for us sometime. And then, you know, go by like 8 years goes by, and then, 2020, ended up doing that Natasha shirt for him. But he was the one instrumental in, you know, making that connection happen. And was always, you know, always loved his, the way I portrayed him, in drawings. So he was always very, referential, and, you could tell it really meant a lot to, you know, to have those drawings done of him.
No, and I think it's so cool that you got to kind of create like real artwork with those guys, you know, and do some stuff like that. That's a cool, you know, memory indeed. I was just thinking, you know, obviously we're playing very short selections and you can get away with that with Pig Destroyer, obviously, but I was almost tempted to. I listened to a lot of Natasha, and I was trying to find like a good passage to sort of play. And honestly, in some ways, I would say that like, if you want it like the best, most like perfect Blake tribute, I think Natasha is like his album almost in a way. Like it's almost he's doing so much on that record in terms of the keyboards and synths and noise and different things like that. And it's one singular song. That would be in a lot of ways like the ultimate, put that on your headphones and if you're a fan of Blake's work and stuff, that's the one. More than
Yeah.
anything, I think we're gonna play. Like you kind of get to see the totality of some of his ideas and some of the what he brought to the table that was so unique when he joined up with them on Phantom Limb and stuff like that.
It was a whole
So I
nother level of unease that his contributions brought into the band.
I mean, you had the crazy, lyrics that were already there that kind of, ate back to like kind of some of the stuff that Dax did on Acid Bath, some real uncomfortable kind of weird, stream of consciousness stuff. That's, can, if you take it the wrong way, it's definitely disturbing. But then for him to add this extra layer of noise and samples and different things, there's some definitely cool, unsettling moments on Pig Destroyer Records, and Natasha's definitely, at the peak of some of that stuff,
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just, like I said, I tried to find a few kind of relevant kind of words that I thought I'd sort of share. And this is from Rick Trude. And he says, when I was 16, I saw what I think was one of Pig Destroyer's first shows with Blake Harrison. If not his first, it was definitely early in the run. Phantom Limb had just come out, and it was at the Black Cat in DC with Misery Index. That was the first time I ever saw a noise table. First time I ever saw a dude with a beer in his hand just fucking rocking on pedals and samplers. His vibe was, in every sense of the word, impeccable. It seemed funny to me at the time, like, damn, what a wild dude just ripping cans and twisting knobs. But every time I saw Pig Destroyer since, I paid more and more attention to Blake. Every time he looked like he was having more fun than anyone else. Then I got to meet Blake, and it turns out he was having fun, a shitload of fun. He got it. He knew that it's actually really fun to be in that position, and it's not bad to look like you're enjoying the fuck out of yourself. He was such a cool and talented dude. It was always a blessing to get to have a beer or smoke with him at the show in Baltimore. More. As I've aged, I think more and more to that first Pig Destroyer show and how sick he was up there ripping these those pedals. He's one of the people I point to for what enjoying yourself on stage looks like. He's the reason I have I have two cans of beer on stage with me every time I play. He's part of my template for a good time. I know enough people who were far closer to Blake than I ever was, and I can't begin to imagine how bad you all feel right now. I felt bad while writing this because it's so reductive to the incredible dynamic dude Blake was to focus just on him ripping pedals and Pig Destroyer. Everyone in the death metal in the DMV metal scene has a story of Blake being a fucking awesome person to them or with them at least once. The positive impact he's had on the community can't be understated. But I can't stop thinking about how that show and how fucking cool that was since I heard the news. I hate that it will only ever be a memory, that I'll never see him crush a beer, Budweiser while Jennifer plays again. It's a worse world without Blake in it. Unfortunately, there aren't enough good videos of him ripping in that band, but they do exist. And I'm going to watch a few clips like this and crack a cold one tonight. So I thought that was
That's good.
real good. I actually got a chance. One probably my favorite Blake memory of seeing Pig Destroyer was at Psycho Las Vegas. I think the first year that I went, I think it was the first year, and they were playing on this like maybe I'll post a picture for once we post the show, especially on Facebook or whatever, because it's really hard to explain. But it was an outdoor stage that was it was like probably 25 feet in the air above everything else, but it was surrounded in a pool. So like they were playing like up on top. It's where Cannibal Corpse played, Pig Destroyer played, and then GZA from Wu-Tang Clan played. And those are the three I kind of remember. And there was basically a pool mosh pit that was going on. Now it's different than the At the Gates mosh pit pool pictures that I think I posted a couple of years back, because that was a kind of a different type of stage, and there was much more. This was like you actually like the stage was in the middle of the pool, and you almost like could like run around the pool around the stage, and like watching like Blake just like fucking going for it up on stage, with the energy of that pool. And like it was at night, so it was like dark, but you were like running around in water if you wanted to be, while like Pig Destroyer was, it was just a very surreal moment. And I was like, this is really neat, this is really singular, you know. So, and obviously I've seen them money, you know, many times beyond that, but that might be the last time I saw them actually. And kind of, oh no, when we were at when they performed Prowler in Toll, that's the last time I think I saw Pig Destroyer, when we were at Beer and Metal Fest the last time.
Okay, because I know I've seen him at MDF probably a couple times, but I think the one I remember the most is probably 2013 Decibel's 100th issue show,
Oh yeah,
where they
I didn't
played
get
with
to go to
Repulsion and Converge and I think Avokin as well.
that.
But
Oh, cool.
that was a very, very joyous
I bet. I
show.
bet. Yep. This is cool. I thought this was really nice. Eric Wood, I don't know who a lot of these people are, but he just sort of posted very succinct. He said, "You selflessly pitched into my own medical fundraiser just days ago, and I can't believe you're gone." So, you know, again, just the personality of who he was and what he had gone through and his kind of recovery and stuff, that, you know, even to the end, he was, you know, doing cool, selfless stuff and things like that. Brendan Joseph said, "R.I.P. Blake, your contributions made Pig Destroyer my favorite band. You were always the band's secret sauce, whose unorthodox ideas seemed at first to be at odds with the music, but grew to be the most exciting part. You'll forever be remembered and missed while I and so many others listen to your art." It's pretty cool. Dan Kulig, he says, "Once at Atlas Brew Works, I was going to take a leak, and then Blake Harrison came barging out of the bathroom stall, beer in hand, and sees that I'm wearing an angry Samoan shirt. Immediately lights up and tells me, 'Hey, I did Lights Out that one time.' He asked me how I knew Angry Samoans, and I told him that my dad had the Mighty Mighty Bosstones EP where they also covered Lights Out. Jokingly, I asked when Hatebeak was going to do a ska song, and he starts to tell me how their parrot vocalist was a diva who wouldn't allow it, as we walked to get another beer. Decided to dig up the same shirt and wear it today in his honor. Good times." So he posted the picture of the Angry Samoan shirt. Pretty cool. Got to take a moment from Josh Staples. Got to take a moment to reflect on the unfortunate passing of Blake, who will be missed terribly by so many. A genuine artist of sound who's created so many turbulent waves that still rock the earth and shape our world forever. A comedian of comedians who made the hardest of hard crack and quiver into laughter, induced belly aches and tears and snots abound. A warm light in a dark world that you could always follow and always kept burning for you. There is a light that will never go out, you rascal. My deepest sympathies to his ever-loving partner, Lindsay Turnbullitt. I wish you laughter and peace." Pretty cool.
I think Rascal sums up who he was the most.
He was a fucking rascal, you know, like that's why when they used to call him Elroy from Jetsons, I just
Yeah,
laughed,
lovable
you know.
rascal.
Yeah, he just was. And he was even on the episodes. Like I remember just some of the jokes and stuff that he would kind of cut, you know.
Yeah.
This is from Alex Dahl. Says, "For many of us in the DC scene, Blake Harrison was a touch point who could be found rocking out on stage and off, a friendly face in every mosh pit, dive bar, and back alley metal rant raging in the DMV. A soft-hearted curmudgeon, fellow Twin Peaks fan, an ingenious animal collaborator, he was a truly fascinating, endlessly entertaining riot. Every time we had the chance to hang, even seen here at his fucking limit, begrudgingly rocking out to the Backstreet Boys with Jay Dixon." Sorry, it's talking about a photo that he posted. "He was always kind to me, always had a supportive thing to say, no matter the forum. And his long-term partnership with his gal was and still is a metric for something I strive to one day achieve in my own life. Lindsay Turnbullitt, my heart is breaking for you more than anything today. My thoughts are with you and everyone else who loved and celebrated Blake throughout the decades. It feels strangely unsettling at the thought of coming back home someday and not seeing him pop up wherever I might venture. This moment is about that space, that void he left behind, and how those who clearly adored him so deeply are stepping up to fill that space with his memories, his energy, and his inimitable passion for the weirdest shit." So that's another thing we share with Blake, is our kind of Twin Peaks, David Lynch kind of love, you know, and obsessions. So, and that was one of the coolest parts about like talking to him, like while we were putting this, you know, Samhain show together and stuff, is, you know, a lot of our non-metal stuff crossed over. Like we, you know, he was a little bit older. Well, yeah, 48, so he's older than me, but he shared a lot of the
He's a year
same
younger
kind of
than me.
influences.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you guys kind of had some of that, growing up in the same era of MTV and some of the different alternative and things that beyond metal that kind of contribute to metal in a weird way. Like, David Lynch is very evocative of some of the weird, unsettling things that he would kind of do in Pig Destroyer, right? With samples and different things. So, like, it makes sense why we're fans of all that kind of stuff, This is from Aesop Decker, the drummer that I think a lot of you know. I'm trying to think what he's in a multitude of different bands.
Wasn't he an Agalloch for half a second or?
I think he was in Agalloch at one point. I think he a lot of the West Coast bands, I think he was sort of part of.
He's like, Portland area. I forget what he's in something that I was just looking at not too long ago. I don't
So
remember.
he just said Blake was the bestest dude. He bought a corrupted shirt off me way back when, and that led to numerous hilarious and thought-provoking conversations online. We met at some fest somewhere, and he was as personable and sweet as anyone can be, even though I probably was not. Waking to hearing of his passing was a punch in the balls, but then I remembered that I'm lucky to have had people in my life, no matter how little I saw them, that inspire this reaction when they leave. All my love and sympathy to anyone who knew him, laughed with him, shared a drink, or funny story. In all the love and light this universe can muster to his incredible partner, Lindsay Turnbullett. Pretty nice. And then Christopher Daniels, got a couple more here, and then we'll kind of wrap this up. But RIP Blake, you were an amazing musician. I was a fan of yours long before we met as a scrappy college student going to see Big Pig Destroyer and Darkest Hour at the Black Cat. But I was honored to coincidentally be your neighbor one floor up at the Blair's for a solid couple of years later. You and Lindsay were kind enough to host me, give me vinyl and beer just for showing up to hang. I always thought Hatebeak was one of the funniest and niftiest bands and musical projects around. I was hoping that maybe that act would get revived at some point. I didn't think the last time I saw you would be the last time when I randomly ran into you at the mall. He just kind of goes a little bit off that. Here's another one from Tony Pence. I would like to add in the separate post, one day we were laughing with Blake Harrison about Hatebeak, and as often mentioned but never used, Tony Joy Division is one of the like side projects he was going to create, and he said, "That's nothing. I'm starting a country emo band called Hoss Icon, Hoss Icon." And I pretty much fell out of my chair and have never stopped laughing about it even 20 years later. So see what we didn't get the these wonderful country emo band side project would have been great. Fellow contributor to he's been on a couple of our episodes and he's a decibel guy that we know, Justin Norton. He said, "This year is extracting a heavy toll. Incredibly sad to hear the passing of my friend Blake. I've lost track of the number of times I've interviewed Blake over the past 2+ decades. He had a bottomless well of knowledge and hardcore and was so passionate and hilarious. He was also a fellow huge Angry Samoans fan. The music he helped make with Pig Destroyer will long outlive him and contain some of the best sounds that have come from the American underground music in the 21st century. I'll never forget seeing him grind metal on stage in a 100+ degree venue in Brooklyn in 2009. Sparks flew everywhere. He knew how to leave an impression. My deepest condolences to Blake's family and his lovely partner, Lindsay. Hashtag fuck cancer." So, yeah. And then just this is a couple of things that our fans kind of said. Philip Trummer said, "Those episodes were great. I was on vacation in Maine when I played those during my daily trail explorations. Rest in power. Peace and condolences to his loved ones." Ron Swanson said he was great on those episodes. And Nick Green said he loved doing those episodes. Fellow Decibel Scribe Nick Green said he loved doing those episodes. "My only regret is that you never got around to doing an episode on the Smiths. He would have killed on that." And then Nolan Bradley, another one of our patrons and stuff, said, "Fuck, dude, that does hurt. While I wasn't really familiar with Blake prior to him as a guest in your podcast, he definitely made those episodes special. My condolences." So, yeah, kind of some just a random sprinkling. I tried to kind of pick ones that were relevant more to kind of the music career aspect, because I don't know, personal stories that went beyond that. That's not really our place to, share that stuff out of context. It's not really, what this is kind of about, But yeah, so like we threw together just a little kind of little snippet of kind of samplings here, kind of going a little bit in order, at least with the Pig Destroyer kind of aspects a bit here. He obviously showed up on Phantom Limb in 2007. I think he talks a little bit about it in the clip that we're going to hear at the start of this. You know, he was, wasn't he working merch and driving the bus for them? Is that what it was? I'm trying to remember
Yeah,
what the exact
that quote,
details were.
it was they started doing, he started doing merch in the UK, grind for the UK.
And they were just like, dude, just be in the band, or whatever, you know? So, and he didn't really have a background in doing like synths and noise stuff. He just kind of made it up as he went, which is even cooler, right? He was just kind of like learning as he went. And that probably added a little bit to the weirdness and the personality. He's like untrained, you know?
Well, yeah,
So.
it came down to feel, I think, and he figured out how to get that, you know, get the instrumentation to do something like that. I don't think a lot of people would have thought to do.
It's funny, and this just came to me right now, but a lesson I taught today, I introduced Citizen Kane in my cinema class, and I kind of was talking about how unprecedentedly weird it was that Orson Welles was given this kind of carte blanche freedom to make this movie, even though he had never made a movie before. And I said, kind of imagine like, you know, somebody that doesn't know how to read music. Being given like a full symphony orchestra and a full like recording studio and told to just like go, you know, you don't even know what rules you're really breaking. You're just sort of like making them up as you want, and you have the ability to almost like break so many conventions that you become, you know, kind of can kind of, you know, is innovative in a way that like somebody who is based in music theory would never have been. You know, or something like that, you know, or film theory or whatever. So it is kind of a cool approach to come at it from there. So we got a pair of tunes from Phantom Limb, Rotten Yellow and Waist Deep in Ash, which both have some you know, get to hear some sampling electronics and things like that, especially in the second half of Waist Deep in Ash. You get to hear how well he kind of blends them in, and they're kind of subtly like present. And that's one of the things, like, you know, Pigsur is a really good headphone band because there's so much chaos happening in some of their songs that you kind of miss some of like the warm synths and different things that he'll kind of like layer in at times. It's pretty neat, you know.
It kind of takes that takes the place for some of the you know, at that point, lack of bass in a second guitar player, but
Yeah, he'll actually play bass on one of their EPs in the 2010s. I forgot to write that down, but yeah. So I think he only did it on the one EP, and then didn't do it on Headcage or Bookburner or anything. But yeah, I mean, Phantom Limb was a big album. That was like kind of my first really big. I think I had Terrifier, but I hadn't really like delved into it a lot. And I think 2007 is right when I was really getting into decibel. You guys had started to talk about decibel, and I mean, that was kind of when you and I were starting to really talk again about music, and you know, about a year out from putting Requiem together, so we were almost like, you know, kind of rekindling the energy and the fire. And that album was like decibel's album of the year that year, and I was really like locked into what decibel was talking about and their recommendations. And I just, yeah, it was early in my teaching career, and you know, just one of those records I graded papers to a lot. I remember at one of the coffee shops, and it just real fond memories, obviously, you know. I ran a lot to the album. That's why I was still doing 5Ks. I remember doing a lot of trail running to grindcore and shit, and you know, loving when those like crazy, like catchy thrash things would sort of, you know, pop up all over the place. So then we get into Bookburner, which is their 2012 record, and I just picked one song out from that, the Diplomat. It's got a great alien sample near the beginning that's pretty fun, and some just kind of cool textures kind of going on, again showing some of the technique that Blake's got. Then we jump to 2018, Headcage, which was the last full-length record that he did with them. I think they did some EPs maybe after that, and a live recording that they put out in the early 2020s. And it's really a pair of songs that belong together. It's the two songs that start the whole album off of. And I think Tunnel Under the Tracks is one of his kind of masterpieces. And it's probably my favorite album opener, noise electronic piece that they sort of threw together in short order, especially as it bleeds right into Dark Train, which is this, you know, like short but sweet, like perfect, like fucking punch in the face grindcore song. So they really work well together. And then just a couple of bands that he was part of too that maybe didn't get as much attention. probably one of the last things, at least I know of, that he is recorded on in a studio type setting was a band he was part of called Zealot RIP. And Blake's actually singing on that, and it's from 2021. And it's the title track to The Extinction of You. And it's got a guy who was also, I think, a filmmaker too, but he was from a band called Froedus, who I don't know if you kind of remember them from college.
I remember the name. I don't remember what the sound like or anything, but
Yeah, I have a Froedus like album, and it's kind of like, I don't know, heavier indie rock stuff, probably,
okay.
you know, like I don't know. But his name is Jason Hommacher, and then Mike Shellbaum from Darkest Hour, and it was basically those guys made up Zealot RIP. And I think Blake had started singing with them in the last few years, so it's cool. We don't get to hear him, you know, do a lot of singing with Pig Destroyer. You know, I think there's a couple moments where he does some stuff, but so it's kind of neat for people that maybe have never really heard some of these other projects that Blake was part of. And then the infamous Hate Beak. Yeah, I mean, my basically his buddy Mark Sloan and him got together and put this together with Waldo the Parrot on vocals, who, if you're a Decibel fan, you might remember that Waldo the Parrot used to do. Was it album reviews, or I'm trying to
Yeah,
remember
it'd be
how did
album. I
they
think it
do
was
that?
just like crappy album reviews.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, but just it's. I mean, the songs are fun. There's some catchy riffs here and there, and they're kind of mimicking. Each song has like a ode to a famous album or a famous, you know, song title from an iconic death metal, grindcore, black metal band, you know, that most metal fans would kind of recognize. But you know, Blake's doing bass and guitar on this, so again, getting to see like the full diversity of different things he could contribute musically. And you know, it's Bird Seeds of Vengeance is one of the songs we're gonna play here from it. And obviously it's one of several bird related odes. And I mean, they had songs like Molt Thrower, just fucking hilarious. Seven Perches, Beak of Putrefaction, The Thing That Should Not Beak, God of Empty Nest. And I just, you know, just for that alone, like it's all on Spotify. Definitely go like check it out. It's a good, fabulous tribute to Blake to listen to these songs. And there's some like real catchy fucking riffs in it and stuff. I mean, and they don't overuse the parrot, but when the parrot comes in, it's pretty funny. I'm not really sure how they. We never really got a chance to ask Blake how he put all this together, but I'm sure there's an interview out there somewhere you can find where he kind of, you know, reveals the wizard behind the curtain of all this. But did you know much about these guys? I don't know. Like, I didn't really know a whole lot about them. I don't know if in your
No, just
decibel
as kind
dealings.
of, I mean, just as kind of like a joke project, really. It was like,
Yeah.
Brujeria, but more interesting.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That's funny. That's funny. So, but yeah, so I think this will give you a really nice kind of sampling, a nice little tribute to Blake. You know, we'll come back, say our goodbyes, and then end with a couple of songs, you know, as we sort of exit things. So basically what we've got is from Phantom Limb, Pig Destroyer, we've got Rotten Yellow, Waist Deep in Ash. Then from Pig Destroyer's Book Burner from 2012, we've got The Diplomat. Then a pair of tunes from Head Cage, the 2018 Pig Destroyer record, Tunnel Under the Tracks and Dark Train. Then The Extinction of You from Zealot RIP, the 2021 record. And then from Number of the Beak from 2015, we've got Bird Seeds of Vengeance from Hate Beak. Enjoy.
Well, I mean, I started playing music in a quote unquote band in some form since I was 14, and I'm 46 now. So that's 32 years. My first couple bands were very shitty versions of Sonic Youth, or like say Sebadoh, that sort of kind of noisy, not really
Yeah.
punk, noisy indie rock, I guess.
Sure, yeah. I think so. Yep.
And that's mostly because I couldn't find anyone to play the stuff I wanted to play. I'm from very rural Maryland. A lot of tobacco fields, that sort of thing. And, you know, it was like, it was even hard enough finding kids that even knew who Sonic Youth was to jam with.
I
So
can
that's
imagine.
started. Once I moved to Towson to go to college, which is north of Baltimore, I found a lot more people that were interested in the music I like. Not the heavier stuff, though, more of the punk stuff. So that kind of developed, and I was in a couple of grindcore bands after that. I used to drive Pig Destroyer around because I've been friends with them forever. In fact, my old band Daybreak booked their second show. So I've known them forever. When they said, hey, we're looking to maybe add a noise guy, I was like, turned into Horseshack. I was like, ooh, me. I like kind of had them cornered because we were in the van, so I don't think they could have said anything else. So that's it in a too long of a nutshell.
Sure. When did you, did you have much experience like as a guy doing like noise type stuff, or did you kind of have to learn all that stuff to just sort of enter into the scene?
I had to learn it all, and I gotta say it's still a learning process. We have to practice for these shows upcoming with the Midas Ways, and I've got 5 or 6 new things I need to try out. A couple noise things that I built myself, and a couple of just other things to try to expand.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I like about it. It's not a guitar. It's not a bass. I can always, for me, every show is different. Sometimes I'll go, when I'm feeling pretty nuts, I go crazy on the sample, and sometimes I don't.
Sure.
I like the idea. I've never been a structured person. I definitely don't like anyone telling me what to do. I know it sounds like an angry teenage kid right now, but I'm not.
I'm there with you 100%.
The punk ethos, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 47.
Then I have been in because people wanted me to do shit I don't want to do. I'm like, and especially in my 20s, like, all right, man, that's fucking lame, loser. I'm out of here. That's basically it. And, it's still a learning process for me. I don't know that I'll ever fine tune it to where I'm happy with what I'm doing, entirely happy.
The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
Yeah! responsible for any hearing impairments or damage caused to you from excessive exposure to this sound.
Yeah!
That was Bird Seeds of Vengeance from Hatebeak, then The Extinction of You from Zealot RIP, and then we had a whole slew of Pig Destroyer songs there. We started the whole set off with Rotten Yellow, Waist Deep in Ash, The Diplomat, and then the 1-2 punch of Tunnel Under the Tracks and Dark Train. So, yeah, basically just kind of heading out. We got a trio of tunes to sort of play at the very end that kind of are a little bit more, at least the last two songs, I just thought from a song title standpoint and also from a musical standpoint, especially in the last song, you get a lot of cool synth work and sampling and different soundscape stuff that Blake does on that. That's tune from Headcage, but Roost in Peace we're gonna hear from Hatebeak, which I thought was, you know, a fitting tribute to his sense of humor, but also a nice statement as we sort of, you know, do a tribute to him. Mm-hmm. And last song, like I said, it's one of the longer tunes on Headcage, which is a very, very short record. It's one of the shortest kind of full-length records that I think the band put out, and his last full-length record that he was on. And I thought it was appropriate to sort of end the last song with the last song, you know, in tribute to him. But we're going to open the whole sort of last little, not set, but just this kind of exit set off with what I believe is, I might be wrong. I'll be honest. I didn't do like a heavy amount of research into this, but in 2021, Pig Destroyer released a single called Excess, which is a Perturbator song. And for those of you that don't know, like Perturbator, Carpenter Brute, and some of the stuff that, especially like Chris and I are into it a little bit, but you've seen Carpenter Brute before, and harder synth wave kind of stuff, and Perturbator has the kind of on the heavier side of things, and I've seen them live and they're really awesome. But this Excess song is really cool, and kind of, I was telling Mark, it sounds, reminds me of like Killing Joke or something like that, like just a totally different lane for a band like Pig Destroyer. And you know, I mean, obviously it's just a one shot kind of single, but if they wanted to do more stuff like this, like they're really good at it, you know, and it's catchy in a way that like normal Pig Destroyer is not, and you know, has a crossover appeal to it. But also there's some really good use of like synths and things, and you know, based on what we know about what Blake likes and a lot of the influence of especially that early 80s stuff like Killing Joke and the Smiths and Samhain and Joy Division and, you know, a lot of that stuff, I have a feeling he was probably really excited to do a cover like this and do it in this style. And so you know, I'd like to believe that. I can't ask him, unfortunately, myself, but I kind of feel like it captures the spirit of everything that he kind of was all about in the band that he's kind of most known for. And so I thought that'd be an appropriate way to kind of open up, you know, as we sort of say goodbye to him and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. Those are my thoughts. Any sort of closing thoughts for you, Mark, as we kind of pay tribute to our friend and contributor, Blake Harrison?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's always tough in these kind of, like, to accurately kind of, you know, reflect how you, like, in a concise way, how, you know, how the passing of somebody, you know, really feels. But he definitely had this vibrancy that I feel like, you know, the scene is, it's a little quieter without him there in a way that, like, we're going to miss his presence a lot. And I'm just glad that we got those couple episodes that, you know, for perpetuity, that people can go back and listen to, and we can go back and listen to. And we had a blast doing those shows too.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of the things, like the even though this is such a little project that probably, you know, doesn't have much bearing on the world or whatever, but you know, it's immortalized in some capacity. Like it mm-hmm. sort of exists beyond us and things. And so you know, for people that want to know about the history of the Misfits and Samhain and know a little bit more about Blake's personality, they, you know, whether we continue this podcast for 10 years or don't or whatever, it's just, it'll be there, you know, and that's really cool to know that we had an opportunity to lock something down that's kind of permanent with somebody as cool as Blake. And I just, you know, you just regret kind of what you could have done, you know, thinking about like what Nick Green suggested, like, oh man, there's these other cool episodes that he would be uniquely sort of built for in a way. And, you know, we'll never get an opportunity to do that, but, hopefully if Blake's looking down from somewhere or whatever, like he's, you know, pleased that we're, talking about him a little bit, and, you know, probably also annoyed that we're talking about him a little bit too.
You know, talk about other shit.
Yeah, like talk more about the Smiths. I'd rather you got to play more Smith songs or something. So,
but it is, but, you know, I think with like looking back on some of the, a couple I can think of is like, I don't, at this point, I don't think Neurosis is ever going to do anything again. And we kind of had a definitive, you know, Neurosis show that kind of got this thing going. We also had like the last interview with Eric Wagner before he died.
Yeah, I know.
And then, you know, having like, that's, it's kind of like a testament to how long we've been doing this too, that we do have, unfortunately, these losses that, but we do have, you know, this, we do, we're lucky enough to be able to capture, you know, a little bit of what each of those people were about.
Yeah. On a personal level, I think of all the things with Requiem related, this one kind of hit me the hardest just because he has been on the episode, but I do remember, literally releasing the Trouble episode while I was in Las Vegas, probably the same day I saw Pig Destroyer, if I'm being honest, on that stage I was talking about.
Yeah.
And then getting the news that you know, Eric had passed away, and just that one was more weird. I just had like a weird,
it was like 2 days shit after or something, but it was, I'm saying it's like a definitive, like there's, we had some kind of, we grabbed some or gleaned something out of that artist or, you know, band or whatever. And there's probably a bunch of other ones I'm not thinking of, but since we've gone like the extreme long form
shows, to document like kind of something like very permanent. I mean, you know, like Mantis is not getting any younger, and you know, like the fact that we were able to lock that down and get really kind of a definitive, his version, like almost an audiobook, you know, and I know he's working on his own book, but like, you know, were there to be an something unfortunate with him getting up in age, like, you know, that's out there. That's people can have that forever. And that's really cool, you know, to do those kind of things. It makes it all worth it, you know, and we don't do this obviously for money or anything. We do it because we enjoy it and we're both very busy people, but we still like love this and love to share it together, you know, and share it with people like great guests like Blake and Justin Norton, who I mentioned before, and others that we've just been able to weave in, you know.
It's just a big love fest all around. Like we're definitely not getting rich on this.
No.
But it's like I feel energized after doing every episode, you know.
We get rich in spirit a little bit from it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like the closest thing for us going to church. You know, you get filled up with all kinds of wonder and joy and dig deep into something that's bigger than you are.
Absolutely. Well said. So yeah, we'll end on that note. And hopefully, you know, if you were a fan of Blake's or Blake's music or any of that stuff, or you like those episodes, hopefully, you know, maybe you heard a song here that you hadn't heard before, and maybe it opens a door to, you know, some fandom or interest in another kind of way. So that's all we can kind of do. So, you know, to his family and, you know, former band members and his, you know, Lindsay and other people that were obviously much closer, you know, hopefully we did our part and, you know, paid fitting tribute to him the best we could. So, you know, this one's for you, Blake. We've got Excess, the Perturbator cover from Big Destroyer from 2021, then Roost in Peace from Hatebeak, and then of course the fitting, the last song from Headcage from Pig Destroyer. So for this somber tribute to Blake Harrison, I am Jason.
And I'm Mark.
Thank you.